Thank you. Yes, sir. Well, thank you, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. It's our privilege to be with you. And so many of you have written to us and have emailed us, and you've been so kind to pray for us. We are the McElreaths. My name's Mark. Katie is right down here. Actually, we didn't realize that we're sitting right at the end of the Ethiopia panel here. And we've got Macy and McKenna just back there in the nursery. And we've been serving the past year in Ethiopia. And we just came back about 5 weeks ago for an emergency medical furlough. And as many of you, I'm sure, get our reports. But back in March, and I'll just, because you're praying for us and you're supporting us, we want you to know what's going on. We want you to know how you can pray specifically. Back in March, we were expecting a little baby. And the Lord chose to take that baby home to be with the Lord. 1 month later, at the end of April, the last week of April, Katie woke up on a Thursday morning, and she had numbness in her feet. And she even says, you know, it was almost like you slept on them wrong. You thought, oh, let me walk around a little bit. It'll be just fine. By the end of the day, that numbness had worked its way up to her waist. We have a doctor friend that just the Lord's been so good to lead us to that I met in language school. They're there living out their retirement in Ethiopia, had just moved there. She's a doctor. We said, well, can we come over and you can do an exam on Katie, try to figure out what's going on. Had her walk the line and do some tests and things. And she said, well, I'm not sure. Let's get some blood work done. So getting blood work done in Ethiopia, you go to the clinic, you tell them what test you want. We got about half a dozen tests run. It costs us about $3.50. But you get what you pay for, all right? I'll tell you that. And so by Friday night, it had progressed up into her chest. Saturday morning, the numbness had progressed into Katie's arms and her hands. And we contacted our friend again Saturday night. We said, you know, things have really progressed. These symptoms are getting worse. Katie's, you know, lost a lot of feeling from her feet all the way up into her hands, all the way up into her chest. And our doctor said, you know, I think you may be dealing with something pretty bad. You need to get on an airplane. We said, okay, we'll look for flights next week. She said, no, you need to get on an airplane now. So within 24 hours, we were on an airplane and back in the United States. And we went immediately to UT Medical Center. We got checked in the emergency room. Katie spent 4 days there, and she's been diagnosed with a condition called transverse myelitis. Don't worry, I had never heard of it either. But it's a condition where your immune system attacks your spinal cord. There's no known cause. And causes inflammation on your spinal cord, causing nerve damage. That's what was causing the numbness and the loss of feeling in Katie's limbs. And so Katie underwent some heavy steroid treatments. And we're thankful we just got back with the neurologist this past week. And there's no new symptoms. And Katie's actually gotten the feeling back in her legs, in her chest, in her waist. Is only dealing with some numbness in her hands. So we thank the Lord for that. That's what we've been praying for. And we're praying that she can get the feeling back in her hands. The tough part is this has to be monitored now because it's an autoimmune condition, and it can progress into something worse. The possibility of multiple sclerosis or another autoimmune disease can come out of this. So we're staying a couple more months till the first week, maybe the second week in August, to get a follow-up MRI and a follow-up with another neurologist to make sure that nothing has progressed, the inflammation has ended, and that Katie's doing just fine, and then we can get back to Ethiopia. To be honest, we love being here. We love being with seeing our family. We love seeing our churches, but we are restless here. The Lord has given us a wonderful first year in Ethiopia. We could not have asked for more. Most missionaries told us, Brother Mark, the first year is about survival. It's getting there, getting set up, learning the language. And we have set up our home. We've both been in language school. We have a tutor that comes to our house as well. And the Lord has given us many opportunities to serve. Katie has started two different children's Sunday school classes at two different churches that are now being run by Ethiopians. We're very thankful for that. In many ways, children are devalued. They're a nuisance. Children are not even disciplined until they're 7 years old because they don't have much worth. And so starting a children's Sunday school is really something that is needed. We thank the Lord that He opened that door. We're working with some veteran missionaries there in the capital city of Ethiopia, in Addis Ababa. And I've had the opportunity to take several trips into the countryside and do teaching and training work A lot of my time is spent in language school as well. If I were to greet you this evening, I would say, Ndimenamashachu, Hulum Taruno, Exabere Meskin. And so we're learning Amharic. Don't worry, I'd never heard of that one either. It's okay. And so we're learning the Amharic language, the main language of Ethiopia. But God has been good to us. Continue to pray that this condition would stop and that we would not have any relapses. About a third of the people with Katie's condition, they never deal with anything again. About a third of the people never get the feeling back in their extremities. And the other third of the people, it progresses to a worse autoimmune disease. And so you can pray for us that the Lord would take care of us. And He has already answered so many prayers, bringing back the feeling and taking care of that numbness in Katie's body. And we thank you. Many of you have written us. And Pastor, that means the world to us. I know a lot of people think, I only wrote a couple sentences. I didn't say a whole lot. I just replied to their newsletter. When you're 8,000 miles from home, to hear any kind of news, to hear a hello, it means a lot. And we thank you, church. We thank you for your support. We thank you for your prayers. And please continue to pray for us. We've got a few things on the back table. This was a very quick trip, so we do not have a big display and we do not have many things out there. We've got a few pictures on the back table of our first year, just to give you an idea, a taste of what it looks like and what it feels like in Ethiopia. There's also some prayer cards back there and a few CDs as well. Please avail yourselves to those. And we'd love to see you afterwards. We want to meet you. We want to shake your hand. And we thank you so much for your prayers. It means a lot. At this time, I'd like to sing a song, The Love of God. Now, that's on the CD as well if you're interested in that. And then we'll go to God's Word. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty bowed down with care, God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Could we with the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man
a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels soar.
Amen. Please take your Bibles with me. Let's turn to the book of Exodus. And Pastor, it's a great privilege and an honor to open God's Word in this pulpit. I appreciate it. We're very thankful for this church. Our sending church is Temple Baptist Church, just down the road in Powell. And we think so much of this place. And I want to tell you, Levi and Brittany Mullins, we love and appreciate them. And we were on deputation the same time they were, and they conducted themselves in such a great way. Anywhere we went, we heard good things about them. I didn't tell any stories that I knew on Levi because we were at college at the same time together. No, I'm just kidding. But we're very thankful for them. Thankful for this place. We'll begin reading in Exodus chapter 5. I also made a pact with Bob Mann that we wouldn't tell any stories on each other either from school. Exodus chapter 5. A little backstory. You're familiar probably with where we're at in the book of Exodus. Moses is born a slave. He's taken in by Pharaoh's daughter. He's raised in the Pharaoh's palace for 40 years. He's exiled, then spends 40 years on the backside of the desert. And now the Lord has spoken to him through the burning bush, and he's brought him back to Egypt. And he's told him to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. We pick up here in Exodus chapter 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you under your burdens? Verse 5 of Exodus chapter 5, and Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tale of the bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid upon them, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words." We find here Moses has gone to Pharaoh, and he says, the God of the Israelites says to let them go. And Pharaoh says, well, I don't know this God, and I don't know who you are to come and tell me that to let them go. They're going to stay right here. And he says, I'm going to increase the work that they have as slaves. So word gets back to the Israelites. Their work is made more. Their toil is increased. And the leaders of the Israelites come to Moses, and they speak to him in Exodus chapter 5 and verse number 20. The Bible says, they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, and neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. We'll take for the theme of the Bible message this morning from verse 22 of Exodus chapter 5, where the Bible says, Moses is asking this question, "Why is it that thou hast sent me?" Or we could say, "Why have you sent me?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee so much for this day. And I thank You, Heavenly Father, for this church and these people. And I thank You, Lord, for Pastor Jenkins. I thank You for Pastor Lastly. And Heavenly Father, we thank You for their testimony and their labor. I pray You continue to have Your hand upon this place. I pray, Heavenly Father, You be with us now as we go to Thy Word. Please speak to us. Give us something we need for this hour. And Lord, we pray for little Jessa right now. We pray You continue to touch her and strengthen her body. I thank You, Lord, for the improvements. I pray that You would continue Thy work. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. So we find here, Moses has gone to Pharaoh. He's listening to God. God told him to go to Pharaoh and say, "Let the people go." Moses obeys, goes to Pharaoh, says, "Let the people go." Pharaoh says, "I'm not going to do it. Actually, I'm going to make it harder on those people. I'm going to make it harder on the Israelites." The Israelite leaders come to Moses and they say, "Thanks for nothing, Moses. You've made it worse on us." And actually, the leaders of the Israelites say, "We would have been better off if you would have never come back, Moses." Moses goes to the Lord and he says, "Lord, why have you sent me here? Why is it that thou hast sent me? Since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, and neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." He says, "Lord, Pharaoh hasn't done anything, and you haven't delivered the people. Why have you sent me here?" Moses is probably at his lowest. Now, when we look at Moses' life, we love to think about how he eventually, we know the end of the story, he leads the Israelites out of Egypt. He leads them across the Red Sea. He leads them across the desert. He leads them into the Promised Land. We say, Moses did all these great works. God used him to do so many mighty things. That to think of Moses at such a low, it's almost hard to believe. It's a man that trusted God for so many years. And yet he says here, "Lord, why have you sent me to these people? What is my purpose? I have not done anything to advance them. All I've done is make it harder on them. All I've done is increase their toil." I do like to point out, when we look at Moses here, he does make the right decision in how he reacts to his disappointment. We do not find Moses runs to Aaron to complain about how God's work is just, it's just not happening. God has just come up short and he's come up late. He does not complain to the Israelite leaders and say, hey, look, it's not my fault. This is all God's fault here. Let me tell you how this has gone wrong. Moses does not get on Facebook and put up on his status, "Just having a bad day, trying to do God's work and it's just not working out." Moses goes directly to God and he says, "Lord, I'm doing exactly what you told me to do. I'm obeying. I was just fine on the backside of the desert and you brought me here and you talked to me through the burning bush and now I'm here. I went to Pharaoh, put my own life at risk, Lord, going before Pharaoh, asked for these slaves, your people, to be freed. And it hasn't worked. What are you doing, Lord?" And it's at that lowest point. It's at that greatest disappointment. Will you go with me to chapter 6 and verse 1? "Then." There comes a then in all of our lives, and there's not just one then that we ever come to. There's usually a series of thens in our lives. Moses hits the bottom. I would imagine the next morning when he woke up in his tent, he was probably thinking, "I'm going back to the backside of the desert. I'm of no use here." But chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Then the Lord said unto Moses," he's a good God. He cares for us as his children. He knows we're fragile creatures. And he comes to Moses to speak to him. He says, "Now, then and now, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh." He says, "Moses, I'm going to show you what I will do." He does not say, "Moses, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do with you." He doesn't say, "Moses, I'm going to show you what Aaron's going to do." He doesn't say, "I'm going to show you what the Israelites are going to do." He says, "Moses, let me show you what I will do." And thankfully, God uses human instruments. He's going to use Moses. He says, "Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, And with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. That's where marching orders start. Why is Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church here? Because God is the Lord. Well, why do we go to Ethiopia? Because God is the Lord. Why can we face sorrow? Why can we face trial? Because God is the Lord. Because He is in control. Because we're following Him. And He leads in a right path. He says, I am the Lord. Verse 3, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. If you're taking notes, you could write down just a simple outline this evening. But first of all, God is in control. And he says that in verse number 2. He says, I am the Lord. And you know what? He's bringing Moses along here. You notice the Lord does not come to Moses, and he does not just beat him down and say, Moses, come on. Just trust me. Why don't you listen to me, Moses? And God doesn't do that with us. And he comes to Moses, he says, Moses, listen. I'm at work here. I am in control. I'm going to do all these things, and I'm going to use you to do it. Can you just trust me? Can you follow me in this next step? Can you get up in the morning? Don't go back to the backside of the desert. I want you to go back to Pharaoh tomorrow. And you know what? You're going to have to go back a few days because he's hard-headed. But I'm in control. I'm going to bring the Israelites out, and I'm going to use you to do it. But he also says here in verse number 3, he says, I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. God was going to use Moses, and he was going to come to his people in a way that they have never seen him before. He wanted them to know him in a new way. They had known him as God Almighty. Now they would know him as the Jehovah God. They'd never seen him like that before. And Moses had to go through some deep water here to know God in this new way. God is in control. But he goes on, we just read it in verse 5. And he says, I've heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. A covenant is a promise. It's a pact. You could write this down. Secondly, God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. What promise is he speaking of here? Will you go back with me quickly to Genesis chapter 15? Genesis chapter 15. The Lord gives four distinct passages which he makes a promise with Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. Chapter 12, we find it again in Genesis chapter 13. The third record of the Abrahamic covenant is given in Genesis chapter 15. And this is the ratification of that covenant when it's put into full power. Genesis 15, verse number 1, the Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Genesis 15, verse 2, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, verse 9, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against the other, but the birds divided he not. When the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and shall afflict them 400 years. We find here, he said, Brother Mark, I don't understand all these sacrifices, and he's taken these beasts, and at this time in history, the way that two men would make a covenant, would make a promise with one another, is they would take these specific sacrifices, they would cut them up, and they would line them up in a field. They would then take each other by the hand, and they would walk hand in hand through the middle of those sacrifices, sealing that covenant one with another. They were literally saying, if one of us does not keep up our side of the promise, then let us be just as these sacrifices. Let us be dead if we would not keep our end of the agreement. We find that the Lord has Abraham lay out these sacrifices. He then puts Abram into a deep sleep, and the Lord himself walks through the sacrifices on his own, making that pact, that agreement with himself. What is he speaking of here in Genesis 15? He's speaking of the same agreement, that there would be a seed, that there would be one day an Isaac, that Abraham would have seed, and that he would have a land given to him. That's what he's speaking of here in verse number 5. He says, I have remembered my covenant. I have remembered the promise that I made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And I tell you, friend, if God has given you something to do, if he's given you clear direction, if he's made something very clear in your life, this is where you're supposed to be, this is what you're supposed to be doing, that in the dark time, in the unsure time, God is in control, and God remembers his promises. And God sees us through. But I want you to see something else. He begins some very beautiful verses that we won't go into great detail, but verse 6, 7, and 8, he makes 7 I will statements. And I believe here that this shows us that God is at work. And I want to show you verse number 6. The Bible says back in Exodus chapter 6, verse number 6, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. That's where we begin. I am the Lord. This is not something Moses had come up with on his own. This is not his own orders that he had thought up and said, I think this will be a good idea. He's getting these from the Lord. I am the Lord. He says in verse 6, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. God has, verse number 6, I believe he's showing us, God has a redemptive purpose for this. He's saying, I'm going to bring these Israelites out from under the bondage. I'm going to bring them out from the chains which ensnare them. I'm going to bring them out of this land. And God has the same purpose in each and every one of our lives. Whether we're going through trials or whether we're going through good times, he wants us to be a light. Pastor Jenkins has already talked about this. There are people that he will bring across our path. There's a testimony that he wants us to give. And as I read this, I thought about this bondage. I thought about these chains that he speaks of here. And I can't help think about the Ethiopian people. The Ethiopian people are a very religious people. I would even go as far to say they are more religious than I am, or even probably you are. On the Ethiopian calendar, there are over 200 fasting days a year. That means on that certain fasting day, usually around the birthday or a certain day that's celebrated for a saint, that they have made a saint, or the day of the cross. They believe they have the cross there in Ethiopia. They have several days where they worship it. On that fasting day, they will not eat anything during the day until after sunset. And then when they do eat, they will not eat anything that's a byproduct of an animal. So they won't have any dairy, any meat, any cheese, anything like that. They're very religious. A good Orthodox is at the Orthodox church every morning before sunrise to do their prayers. I'm not at the church before sunrise. I don't fast 200 days during the year. But let me tell you, religion is a devil without Jesus Christ. And they're in their bondage. We have friends that are Orthodox. Oh, and they keep their holidays, and they keep their fasting, and they keep their prayers. And when we speak to them about the true, sufficient, complete work of Jesus Christ, they are blind. And they're in bondage to their religion. They're in bondage to their saints and their angels and their church fathers and their tradition. But God says here, I have a purpose in your life, Moses, to see that there will be some brought out of this bondage and there will be some brought out of these chains. I have a redemptive purpose in this. And we're seeing people come to know the Lord as their Savior. But I tell you, it is a fight and it is a struggle. And those who are not Orthodox in Ethiopia, they follow Islam. And they are just as enslaved and just as ensnared. And it takes a work of the Holy Spirit. Now, it takes a work of the Holy Spirit in any man's life to come to Jesus Christ. But I tell you, it takes a strong work of the Holy Spirit to see people come to know the Lord. But he says here, I'm at work, Moses. I am going to do these things. And Moses could have very easily said, you know, Lord, I don't know that I can trust you enough to see this through. And maybe the Israelites would have never been led out of bondage. God would have found someone else to lead them out. But he says, Moses, I have a redemptive purpose. Let's go on to verse number 7. The Lord says, I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. He's showing here, Moses, I'm at work, and I have a purpose to see a relationship is built between me and these people. You know, it'd be very easy for me to say, you know, I have a very good relationship with former President George Bush. We're very close. Someone would say, really? So, does he ever return your phone calls? And I say, well, I mean, not really. He doesn't really return my phone calls. But, you know, I call him all the time. Well, a relationship is two ways. I could call him all I want, but if he doesn't ever talk to me, we don't have a relationship. But that's what it's telling us here in verse number 7. It says, I will take you to me for a people. That's a relationship between God and man. It says, you will be my people. But it says in verse number 7, I will be to you a God. That's the relationship between me and him, that he is my God. And God says, I have a purpose in this, that there will be a relationship built between me and these people. And God has that purpose in our lives, to see that those who are without God and without hope in this world would have a relationship with the one true God. Remember, he said, I'm going to show you myself in a way you've never known me before, in verse number 3, as Jehovah. But then he goes on to say in verse number 8, and I will bring you in unto the land. That's that covenant that he promised. Concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. I believe he's showing us here, Moses, I'm at work. And I want to give you a reward. And that reward is the land, yes. The reward was the land. But was God giving them a land, the land of Canaan, so that they could consume it upon themselves? Was it so that they could enjoy the milk and the honey and the good fruits? You can read all about it in Numbers chapter 13 as they stood at the brink of Jordan looking over into the land. And oh, the fruits and the pomegranates and the figs and the land flowing with milk and honey. Was that so they could enter in and consume it upon themselves? No, he reiterates that in the end of verse 8 where he says, and I will give it to you for an heritage. A heritage is not something that is done just for this generation. A heritage is something that is done for the next generation, and the generation after that, and the generation after that. He says, I'm giving you a land. I'm bringing this people out, Moses, because I have a special purpose for them. But that purpose does not end with that generation I'm bringing out of Egypt. It will continue to that next generation. It will continue to that next generation. And that is what God wants to see in this church. That is what God wants to see in my life. Not that I've just consumed upon myself. I've gotten everything out of Christianity that I can get. But that I am putting something back into followers of Jesus Christ. I'm putting something back into children. Thank the Lord for this vacation Bible school. Thank the Lord for the Sunday school. I passed the bus ministry folders over here. Thank the Lord. We go into churches that don't do that. You're blessed, church. We go into plenty of churches that they've shut the buses down, they've sold them, they've closed the children's, you know, they used to have a children's ministry. Well, they've closed that part of the building. There's another generation coming, and they will lead in this church one day, and they will be leading in our churches one day. And who knows what child may come to this vacation Bible school? Who knows what child may come in on a Sunday school bus, hear God's word, come to know the Lord as their Savior, and they will change the entire heritage of their life, what they will pass on to those coming after them. And that is what we want to see here. That's what we want to see in Ethiopia. That's what we're seeing. That's why we're starting Sunday schools. For many, it's a foreign concept. For many Ethiopian pastors, the thought of a Sunday school is really a foreign concept. That we would have a meeting for children. Children are so devalued. And it's coming here in this country too. But I'm giving you this, Moses, for an heritage. Now remember, Moses asked, Lord, why have you sent me? Why am I here? If God has taught us anything in this time, in our lives. Now, look, things were going great in Ethiopia. We weren't ready to come back yet. But if He's taught us anything, following the Lord is not about a place. It's all about a person. And that's easy to say. That's very easy to say. And I'm still learning what exactly that means and how to live that. But Moses had to understand, Lord, you've sent me here. You have something you've given me to do. And whether I'm on the backside of the desert or whether I'm standing before Pharaoh, the most fierce and powerful emperor that the world had at that time, or whether you've got me leading people through a desert for 40 years, wherever it is, if I'm seeking after you, you're in control, you keep your promises, and you are at work. Just like Pastor Jenkins talked about when he gave that gospel tract to that man. God had been working in that man's heart. That man had questions. Things were going on, and he could never know when he spoke to that man the need that he had. And when we speak to people, when we give a gospel tract, when we give a gospel witness, we never know how God is working in their life long before we ever speak to them. So don't give up. Don't give out. There's someone that needs you. God has a purpose in it all. Why has He sent you? Because He's in control. Because He keeps His promises. And because He is at work. And thankfully, He uses human instruments to see His work done. And He wants to use you and I. Let's get in on what He's doing. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for this passage. And these are just a few thoughts, Lord. But Heavenly Father, I pray You to help us, whether it seems like our work is in vain, whether it seems like our work is seeing no fruit, help us to know that, Lord, You're at work, and Lord, You want to see a greater work done than we could ever imagine. I pray You'd guide us and You'd direct us, Lord, and You know how You're speaking and working in hearts. Pastor, I'll have You come and continue the invitation. I pray You'd bless. Guide and direct now, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Just keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed. I'm just going to ask him just to begin to play through softly. Just as soon as she gets prepared, if she'll just play through very softly. Tonight, I wonder, is the Lord speaking to your heart? Is He speaking to you? You've heard a great message tonight. The Lord is using this message from one of his dear servants. And if tonight you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, please come and let us introduce Him to you. If you do know the Lord, maybe you feel like Moses at this time. Lord, what am I doing? Why am I here? What's going on? I don't understand this. As they just begin to play through softly, why don't you come and rest in the truths that God is in control? Rest in the truths that God keeps His promises. And rest in the truth that God is at work. All three of these truths that He brought out tonight, my wife and I have experienced this week. I'm glad that no matter what life throws at you, God really is on the throne, friends. He really is. He is in control. And I'm glad tonight that He always keeps His word. Whatever He says, He's going to do it. And He is at work. I'm just going to ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. If God is speaking, if you need to be saved, or if you just want to come and ask God to help you or use this message continuously in your life as He sings, would you come now? Would you do it, please? Come on.
Have thine own way,
come on now.
Lord.
Come on.
and talk to the Lord.
Have thine own way.
There's time for you. Come on.
Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Some of you say, Jody, I'm going through something right now that I can identify with Moses' question. When Moses asked the question, why am I here? I can identify with that. There's something going on in my life. The Lord understands that maybe there's a question. Lord, why am I here? What's going on? Have you all have something like that going on? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. Be honest about it. Yes. And you need to take this message and apply it to your heart, apply it to your life. May the Lord add His blessing to this. He's been good to us. Amen. We're not quite through yet. You can look this way. We'll have Brother Bobby to come now. I'm going to call the church into session just for some missionary items, and then we'll conclude the